Today we'll look at Amir Tashem, a piece from the Haggadah, examine it a little bit deeper to get a richer experience when saying it on Seder night. This is a very famous section. It's famous because we all look forward to it, and it's a song, and people like songs, and after the major part of the Haggadah of the Arami Ovid Avi, which people really can't follow, to have a breather, so to speak, and have a song is a breath of fresh air. And that song is obviously Dayenu. And it begins, the Omnipresent has bestowed so many favors upon us. Kama milos tovos lamakom aleinu. Had he brought us out of Egypt, but not executed judgments against the Egyptians, it would have sufficed us. Had he executed judgments against them, but not their gods, it would have sufficed us. And the list goes on. And as the Shvila Pinchas notes, we find that they choose to enumerate 15 favorable deeds that Hashem performed on our behalf. The first favor mentioned is Shoseitanu Mitzrayim, they took us out of Egypt. Among the deeds listed are Makas Bechoros, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Man, and Dreyer to Israel. The list goes, concludes with the 15th and grandest favor of them all, Uvanra Lanu Abesa Bechira Lechaper Lovin Oseinu. He built us a sacred temple, literally the house of his choosing, to atone for all of our sins. And as Rabbi Gladstein notes in his Haggadah, this piyut was incorporated as a supplement to the central sipur of Yetziat Mitzrayim to expand our expression of gratitude beyond the redemption from Egypt to include other chasadim, other kindnesses that Hashem performed for us. The 15 levels of kindness listed here were a continual chain of goodness that Hashem bestowed upon us as a people. And that's classic, we're familiar with it, very well known. At the same time, we have to ask a number of questions. The first two are technical, and the third is fundamental. And that is, and the fourth we'll note as well, Rabbi Bernstein in Darkness to Destiny, Source 4. The common translation of the opening line of the song, right, of Kama Malot Tovot Lamakom Aleinu, how many levels of kindness did Hashem bestow upon us? However, this translation raises some difficulties. Why do we say Lamakom, which means to the Omnipresent? We should say Mehamakom, from the Omnipresent, as we're discussing kindnesses bestowed from him to us. So the way it reads is Kama Malo Tovot Lamakom, that are given to Hashem, but it should be Mehamakom, from Hashem. We're not giving this to Hashem, this is what Hashem has done for us. Further, if the references are level of kindness bestowed toward us, the wording should have been Lanu, to us, not Aleinu, upon us. What is the meaning of the word Dayenu? That's the classic question said at the end of every line. It seems to be saying that this would have been enough for us in terms of our national well-being and development. Dayenu would have been enough. But can we really say this? How can we say that Hashem had taken us out of Egypt and not given us the Shabbos or the Torah? That would have been enough. Apparently Hashem, who gave them to us and demanded their full observance, felt it would not have been enough. What does the word Dayenu mean? And finally, what is the significance of 15, that there are 15 levels in the Dayenu piyut? Those are the questions that we're going to deal with today. Now, as the questions sound very technical, we need to step back, and we need to recognize that Dayenu is really, which comes at the end of the Magid story, right before Leficha Chanachtu Chayavim Lehodos, before the thanking Hashem and the Hallel, we have to realize that Dayenu, if we look at it a little bit more closely, is really the culmination of the goals of what Seder night are about. And there are three goals of the night, three main goals. Obviously, there are a number of goals. The three main goals of the night. And Dayenu really reflects all three goals. And in that perspective, Dayenu becomes for us like the song of the evening. So let's talk about first two of the goals of the night of Seder. You know, you go into a car with Waze, they ask you, put in your destination, right? Just to drive without a destination is going to get you nowhere. What is our destination tonight? I understand you want a nice ride, you want a nice Seder, and you want a nice family experience, But obviously, if we're going to go through the Haggadah and we're going to eat the matzah and the wine and the maror, we have to go somewhere. It's supposed to lead us to some spiritual fulfillment and realization. And the question is, what? What is our goal? If I don't know my goal, it's going to be very hard to reach there. So let's very briefly remind ourselves of two of the major goals, tie them into Dayenu, and then we'll end with the third goal and tie that in to the Dayenu as well. The first goal we'll see, we've seen in a number of places, we've looked at it before in the Nesiva Shalom. We'll see it here in My Soul Desire, Rabbi Kluger. Today is unusual, that 90% of the sources are in English, so let's see it inside. Some things in life are visible and clearly perceptible to us. Our body is the most obvious thing in our lives. Our hands, our feet, our ears, the physical world around us is concrete. We see tables, chairs, houses, people. The same is true for the physical processes in life. It's clear that you eat and then you feel satisfied. You get dressed, you feel warm, you need money to buy food, clothing, and other needs. These facts are distinct and tangible to us. I can feel the food, I can feel the table, I can feel the chair. It is something that is part of my repertoire in my life. There are other truths in life that, although they're basic realities, are not so obvious and perceptible. The fact that Hashem renews the world and sustains us at every moment, that Parnassa is from Hashem, and that whatever happens in this world is from Hashem, are truths that we know and believe, but are nevertheless not obvious and tangible. And this is what we call Hester. Godliness is concealed from us, it's not perceptible like the physical world around us. That's something that's well known. It's fascinating that 7a, the Pasuk in Parshat Bo, describing the night of Pesach, describes it as, it's a watch night, a Lel Shimurim for Hashem, to take them out of the land of Egypt. This night, Halayla Hazeh, is Hashem's watching all the sons of Israel through their generation. Now, anytime we have the word Hazeh in Chumash, like Zeh Keli Vamveu, Zeh Yitnu, by the half a shekel, Zeh means something you can point to. It's something that is real, tangible, and concrete. The first night of Pesach is called This Night, and here is where it's so fascinating. Night, we always understand as darkness, as Hester, as concealment, as when one's view is blurred. Likewise, the inner meaning of night is a state in which godliness, the inner truth of the world, is imperceptible and blurred. But the Seder night is this night. On the night of Yetziyah Mitzrayim, the concealed truth of the world, or the night of the world, became so clear and visible that it could almost be pointed to with a finger. Zeh Halayla Hazeh. That is, in a nutshell, what Pesach is about. It's a time of Laila. It's a time of concealment where you don't see Hashem. But in this concealment with clarity, Zeh, you're able to find the Ribono Shel Olam. In the Haggadah, we read the Pasuk, and I'll go through the land of Mitzrayim on this night, Ani v'lo Malach, Ani v'lo Saraf, Ani hu v'lo Acher. This was clearly Hashem revealing Himself. This is what the Haggadah comments on the words, B'mora Gadol, with great fear. This was revelation of Shechina. On this night, the Shechina, the Divine Presence, was revealed and evident to all. And this, my friends, is why David HaMelech in the Arrow in 8 talks about Laila Kayom Ya'ir. The night of Pesach is a night of darkness, Kayom Ya'ir, but it is illuminated like it's day. Because the clarity within this darkness became so evident that the Ribono Shel Olam is here. Ani v'lo Malach, ani v'lo Saraf, ani hu v'lo Acher. There's no one but Hashem. Chazal say that the words, the night will be bright as day, refer to the night of Yetziyah Mitzrayim. Chazal teach you Yetziyah Mitzrayim, you have such a clear revelation of godliness, that the existence of night, the concealed truth, the godliness in creation became as clear and perceptible as a physical, visible reality. The inspiration of that revelation, divinity, returns every year on the night of Yetziyah Mitzrayim. On every Yontif, Hallel is only recited by day. Seder night, we say it at night, because the night is considered as day, when godly truth shines bright and clear. So now we can appreciate Man Nishtana HaLaila HaZeh Mikol HaLailot. And Laila is usually feminine, and here it's masculine, because tonight it's a different night than a normal night. While in all other nights Hashem existence is concealed, on this night, godliness is revealed to us. And as we sit around the Seder table, recounting the miracles of Yom Yitzrayim, we can connect to that wonderful godly revelation at that time and make Hashem existence a basic, tangible reality in our hearts. Goal number one, my friends, right? This is the Nesiva Shalom. That Pesach is a Chag HaEmunah. It's Rosh Hashanah for Emunah. The goal of the night is to be able to walk away with being able to say, Echad mi yodea, Echad ani yodea, Echad hu Elokeinu shema shamayim uva'aretz. I have clarity that Hashem is the God in heaven and in earth. I have clarity. We end the Seder. Va'ata HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem comes down, kills the Malach HaMavet, who kills the whole Chagadja. My friend, this is not just a philosophical concept. This has to be brought into our lives in a very real way. Goal one of Seder night is one word, Emunah. Clarity. Feeling Hashem's presence in our lives in a very real way, that I know that Hashem exists. I can almost touch it. I can see it. It's clear as day. I'll add here parenthetically that this is why, if one, first and foremost, one should be able to do that through the Haggadah, through the Midrashim, through the learning of the Haggadah to say, you know, the Midrashim about the dam, that for Egyptian was blood, for Jew it was water. How could that be? Same cup. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here. Within the story, right? Talmidim came, Achabel, Talmidim, and they said, he gives man Kriyat Shema Shel Shachrit. What is Kriyat Shema about? It's about taking on Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. That was the pinnacle. They reached it. That's the goal that we need to have, to feel that closeness and to know that Hashem exists. Obviously, again, to do it through the Seder, as well as to supplement. And that's really the mitzvah, says in Sivah Shalom, V'yigadet to Levincha, is the mitzvah of Hashrasha Zamuna, of really being able to inculcate Emunah. Because if you think about it, in our day and age, oftentimes children know the story better than their parents. They know the Midrashim better than their parents. Parents may not have had the ability to learn, and kids go to Yeshiva and Beis Yaakov, and they know Midrashim here and there. So they come to Seder night, and they're like, you're not telling me anything I don't know. I can tell you A, B, C, and D. You're missing the point. It's not just telling the story. It's telling the story in order to inculcate Emunah. And in order to inculcate Emunah, that's where the parents have the age and the wisdom to be able to share life experience, to be able to share insight that the children don't have, to be able to have that level of connection. And that is why I've said, you know, over the years, that, you know, to take Svarim, Haggadahs, like Rabbi Spiro, like Rabbi Pruzansky, that have stories in the Haggadahs commentary on the bottom, during the meal, to be able to tell over these stories, prepare such a story, is important, because it leads to that emotional reality. Ah, you know Hashem exists. Source number 10, the second goal of the Seder night. This is found in Rav Chaim Freelander's Atzal Siftei Chaim. And he brings from the Chovos Levavos, Tovos HaBorei El Am, Mina Amin V'Uma Mina Umos, Kemoshe Tiv Livnei Yisrael Be'otzei HaMeretz Yitzrayim. Hashem did us the favor of taking us out. And v'chayvim b'zeh avodah yaseirah, because Hashem took us out and did us a chesed, we owe Hashem a deeper debt of gratitude. Mevuar b'dvarav, shemitzvot ha'sich liyot, heinu mitzvot asher b'koach kol adam lavin et chiyuvam l'kayamam, sharei mechuyuvot ha'sechol hein. There are some mitzvot which are logical. Treat your parents nicely, don't kill. And then there are mitzvot that we don't understand. Why do we do these mitzvot? And the answer is, Hakar Satov. All humanity has to have Hakar Satov God, The Jews have a deeper level of Kersatov. They tivlahem and the arrow yoter milashar ami. And that's why we have many more laws than the nations do, because Hashem has done so much more to us than to others. He quotes here the Ibn Ezra in the second paragraph on Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God, I took you out of Egypt, that he writes, Ki Yitzhiya Mitzrayim Vakarata Tov Haba Mimena Hi Shemechayev Erekimu Mitzvot. The Ibn Ezra says so clearly, why are we obligated in keeping the mitzvot? Because Hashem did us a tova. He did us a favor. He took us out of Egypt. And based on Hakaras HaTov, Imken, Anu Chayvim, Lishmur, Koma, Shet Sivanu, whatever, Shet Sivanu, whatever he is going to command us, we have to do. Afilu lo hayinu yudim et hamitzvotav, even if they don't make sense to us, just on Hakaras HaTov, we're obligated to do this. And not only are we obligated to do this, we should do this. When we do this, b'kabbalah, mitzvos b'ratzon, v'lo mitol koshi, the end of 10, we should do it with love, and not like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this. If someone does you a tremendous favor, and then they ask you for a favor, you're not like, oh, I can't believe you're asking me. You're saying, well, sure. What else would you like? Whatever you want. I'm so indebted to you for everything you've done. B'simcha, I will help you out. Now, how do you reach this level of Hakaras HaTov? How do you reach this level of gratitude? In the Arrow in 11, the Ketzad Yavo Adam Lider Gashar Hakaras HaTov, Ayidei Yidias Kol Pirtei HaTova Shenesta Imo. The more specific you are, the more you're able to conjure up step by step of all the kindnesses Hashem does, that's how you're going to access the Hakaras HaTov, Valkein, Stavinu, B'mitzvot, Tzipporim, Mitzrayim. Ki Lehu Yata, we have to say the story as if we feel it's happening to us. That's how we have to go through the story. And as the Muslims far and say, V'chol Amar Be'areitz HaMishubach, and the asterisk in 11, Mishubach means Mashpiach, you become a different person. You become a more praiseworthy person. It impacts you. Because when you go through the experience and retell the story, and when you retell it, it's as if it's so personal. Take any story that's ever happened to you, the person did you a favor, and you start detailing, and I was in this situation, and they did this for me, and they did that for me, and you just feel so indebted that emotionally, you feel so connected. That's the goal of Yitzhiyah, the story of Sipur Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, to feel indebted to the Ribono Shelom Hakaras HaTov. So the first is Emunah, to Zehalayla Zeh, to see the Ribono Shelom, to know that exists. And second is obviously, that's not enough. It's very nice. You know God exists. But now, how are you going to be different? The Hakaras HaTov, the gratitude, the doing the mitzvot because you feel indebted, that's the higher level. And here, in Source 12, he says, Hamikba'er bazem, Shekfiyas tova eina yechola ladur yachad im emunat yitzhiyat mitzrayim. This is it. If a person is ungrateful, there's no way they can really have emunah, faith in Hashem. Because the goal, you would see, I mean, trying the tachlis, the Kabbalah Romachut Shamayim, is to accept the yoke of Hashem's kingdom. And one who's Kfuye Tova, one who does not accept and recognize all the miracles that Hashem has done, he's not going to accept the Romachut Shamayim. On the other hand, the more you are indebted, the more the Hashem's presence and reality becomes that much greater, then you'll be able to have that deeper in Emunah. Shekein, double underline, Kabbalat Omochut Shemaim, Kshura, our acceptance of the yoke of heaven is connected b'dargat ha'kara shel adam b'tovato shel makom, to the extent that you feel all the kindnesses that Hashem has done in your life. And the more that we, in this case, it's the mitzvot in general, to appreciate Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, and that's why Hashem has commanded us all these mitzvot, and in our own lives, to be able to detail all that Hashem does for us, that's obviously the gratitude level is going to be ratcheted up to a higher level. Okay, my friends, so we have established so far two fundamental principles. The goal of Seder night is Emunah, is knowledge of Hashem, awareness of Hashem, knowing Halayla Hazeh, this night, Manishra Halayla Hazeh, this night is different. It's not night, it's day. It's Laila Kayom Yair. And the second is Kabbalah Ruach HaShemayim. Leads to Akaras HaTov. It leads to, and Akaras HaTov leads to Kabbalah Ruach HaShemayim. It works hand in hand. We need to be grateful to Hashem and deepen our relationship with Hashem. Having said these two ideas, now we can go back to Dayenu. And now let's understand what Dayenu is about on a completely different level and be able to access this depth. Let's begin with Darkness to Destiny again, source number 13, Rabbi Bernstein. These questions cause certain commentators to explain the intent of the song somewhat differently. For each and every level of kindness that Hashem bestowed upon us, there's a corresponding level of expressing gratitude, lamakom, towards Hashem, which is aleinu, upon us. This isn't, we're flipping it around, this isn't, look at all the things that Hashem has done for us, kindness after kindness, rather, look at all that Hashem has done for us, and each level demands from us to be able to show gratitude to Hashem. It is incumbent upon us, lamakom, to Hashem, to show gratitude. There's a very profound message here with regards to the concept of gratitude. Even if the kindness bestowed upon the person is a process that includes many stages, he should not wait until the process is over before saying thank you. Rather, each and every stage is deserving of one's gratitude. In truth, continuing in the next page, the entire Seder night itself is dedicated to an appreciation of what is ultimately one step in a larger process. Hashem delivered the Jewish people from Egypt in order to bring them to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. Indeed, immediately following the first day of Pesach, we begin to count up to that national liberation. And it's not fully deserving. The culmination of our national liberation destiny is fully deserving of a night of thanksgiving, which is Shavuos. This is the theme that pervades the Song of Dayenu, that for every step of the way, thank you, Hashem, even if we're still in the middle of the story, I want to thank you. A person in Shiduchim, they say, thank you, Hashem, that I've entered into the Shiduchim Parsha. Thank you, Hashem, that I have suggestions. Thank you, Hashem, that I have whatever it is. You may not be married yet. Thank Hashem for every step of the way while we're still in the process. That's what Dayenu is about. Rabbi Pruzansky, Night of Amunah. For most people, the more someone is a presence of in their lives, helping them out and caring for them in a wide variety of ways, the less the person is likely to think about the many specific acts of kindness the person performs for him. Continuing 17, the biggest example, obviously, is child to parents, right? How many children do you see coming home every day and saying, thank you, Ima, for doing the laundry today. Thank you, Ima, for making dinner today. Thank you, Ima, for washing the dishes today. Thank you, Ima, for driving me today. I mean, the list is endless. No, you know, maybe when you get married, oh, thank you for everything you've done for me. But while we're going through this process, we take it for granted. This is mom's job. If this is true for our sense of gratitude to our parents, how much more so is it true for our gratitude to Hashem, whose continuous acts of incredible kindness seem to have, quote-unquote, just happened. He created us with great compassion and wisdom, provides everything we need to live, heals us from sickness, saves us from dangers, performs miracles for us, sustains the will non-stop outpouring of chesed. We don't think about it. Okay, sometimes in Modim we'll stop and appreciate it. We spoke about this a few weeks ago by Korban Dodo. But do we focus on it every day? Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Hodu Hashem ki tov kilom chastam. And really mean it for every process that happens. And Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz explains that the Baal Haggadah is trying at this point in the Seder to help us shake off that mindless attitude toward Hashem's kindness by detailing all the incredible things he has done for us since he took us as his nation. We experience the multitude of specific expressions of Hashem's infinite love and instill in ourselves the great gift of gratitude. That, my friends, is the key. With the word Dayenu, we recognize that in truth, Hashem is not required to give us anything. Therefore, had he given us even one of the many benefits that we have, we should feel Dayenu that it would be enough. That's what Dayenu means. Hashem does so much for us. If he would just take us out of Egypt, Dayenu would be enough to give thanks to him. If he just gave us the man, it would be enough to give thanks to him. Each one of these items is Dayenu, means this is sufficient in its own right to give thanks without knowing the end of the story, without knowing when the person got married. Thank you, Hashem, for every step of the process. And that, my friends, is the message of the night, Hakara Satov. And that is what we have to recognize, that when we're going to say Hallel tonight, it has to be a Hallel, not like, oh, Hallel. But no, thank you, Hashem. And this is where we get into a little bit of a challenge, that we sing Dayenu, and go ahead, enjoy singing it. But be able to hold and appreciate the levels in Dayenu. Dai Dayenu, Dai Dayenu. It would be enough to thank Hashem for just this. Stop, contemplate. What are things in my life? Of course, there are so many things in my life I want to have a happily ever ending answer. And when I have it, God, they don't give you thanks. And the list is a long list sometimes. What the Haggadah is teaching us is that a relationship with Ribono Shel Olam, like a relationship with anyone, is about a continual aspect of Hakaras HaTov. And when we enumerate each thing, we're really tapping into that experience of appreciation of the details in life and taking nothing for granted. Hashem, you didn't have to give us all our needs in the desert, and you didn't have to give us Shabbos at that time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's take a look at Rav Gamliel in 17. Yesh b'rosh roshona musag shel dayenu, klomar, haker na ki lo chayavim latet lecha hakol. God doesn't owe us anything. Dai lecha ve'chad min advarim sho'il la'anik lecha mishamayim. It's enough that Hashem has given you any of these things to be able to say thank you. Quoting the Malbim Haggadah, Rav Asisyahu in source number 18 says, Acharei shebitza ba'al Haggadah imrato, v'gamar kol sipur kol k'tavim v'darshaseyem. Now the Haggadah has told the whole story, me'ata panei ela mirad halo, yifneu mirad halo, returning to spout to say halo, Ukidei lahaliv, in the asterisk in 18, and libenu kodem amiras halo. What is Dayenu about? It's about stoking the flames. It's about feeling the passion. It's about getting into that mindset. Latebina bilvavenu at kame mechuyavim anachnu lahalal. To what extent we're obligated to give thanks. And therefore, that's what Dayenu comes to do. L'fichach mechuyavim anachnu lahalal b'chol minei kilos v'sheva sheitachen liyot. U'metzayim v'nomar lefanav shira chadasha aluka. That's what Dayenu does. It makes us appreciate that when I say halal, I'm not just saying halal for the big things. I'm appreciating the small things as well. And that's the difference between a regular person and a sensitive, great person. Thank you for making this food. I like this food so much. Thank you for going out of your way. Thank you for inviting me on a difficult week. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Looking at the Malbim's Haggadah itself at 19, Ubiur hamila malot hu tehilos v'tishpachos kemo la'ale u'lekales, explains the Malbim, when we say this phrase, kama ma'alot tovot l'makom aleinu. How do you translate la malot? So a lot of the translations are how many favors, but ma'alot, he says, is from the word la'ale u'lekales, to give praise. How much opportunities do we have to praise you, Hashem? And that has to be the focus, similar to Nishmat al achan mi aleph 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 alfe alafim v'rive rivavos atovos kama malos klumar kama hodos alatovos. It's mamish a nishmas that we have here. Continuing in Rav Gamliel in source 21, v'zeh halimud l'chol shana. We say that Pesach is the first of the Jewish holidays of the year, because this is setting us up the paradigm of the year. This is the limud of the whole year. Kishem shigula mitzrayim haklalit haitan lahodol Hashem yitbarach. Just like the redemption from Egypt in a collective sense was to give thanks, kaka magula pratit sheish l'chol echad v'echad kat basher hu. Likewise, this is the message for our lives. right? We have to look at the Seder on two levels, on the collective and on the personal. Tonight's a night to give thanks for Hashem redeeming us. I remember mother-in-law, she lived in Bewell, 93 Kenainara, that she was a child in France during the war when she would be by us for Pesach Seder during the meals. She would talk about the salvation that Ribbono Shel Olam did. It, you know, and we have to thank Hashem for so many miracles. And every one of us is a living miracle. And there's so much to give thanks for. And we have to include that in our relationship with Hashem to make it so much more personal. I can talk, I can see, I can function. And he says, when you're able to live a life of appreciation, you live a life of joy. Because one leads to the other. So you can reach Mamash Ruach HaKodesh. As the Arizal says, it was through Simcha that he reached the levels he did. He quotes here Rav Avraham Yurvitz Zatzal, Shemash Matsui Anashim in the bracket, She'inam B'Simcha. Why do you find so many people that are miserable and are not happy? They live in a world of entitlement. I need this, I want that, I should get this. It's all about them. And what they think they deserve. If you have the mindset of I don't deserve anything, and whatever I get is gravy. You'll be happy with everything you have. That's how you're going to reach love of Hashem, appreciating all that you have around you. Rabbi Kestenbaum in Olam Amidos, in Olam Asimcha. A person who is financially stressed may find himself distraught, but he should try to recognize, 23, that he has his health and basic necessities with all that he's missing in money, is money, which is not really as important. With all his financial difficulties, he has young children. Would it ever occur to him to sell them? Of course not. He would not tell children for all the money in the world, and he therefore should see himself as a very lucky person, his financial woes notwithstanding. Similarly, every person in his own situation has to contemplate the many blessings in life and derive joy from them. And he quotes in 24 the famous story of Rabbi Akiva with Rachel. Her father, Kabal Savua, wrote her off. They're living in like barns on straw, and it's pretty intense. And one day, Eliyahu Navi dresses up as a peasant and knocks on the door and said, my wife just has a baby. We don't even have straw. Do you have any straw that you can give us? And said Rabbi Akiva to his wife, here's a person who lacks even straw. What's the message of the story? It's not rejoicing because he had more than someone else. That knowledge would not have made him happier. Rather, because he saw someone who did not even have straw, he came to recognize that the straw he possessed in the asterisk was a great gift. If we too would contemplate all that we have, how many incredible blessings Hashem has granted us. We also have to recognize, as mentioned earlier, that Hashem does not owe us anything. We start from zero, and every good thing we have is a gift from Him. A person who adopts this attitude will stop viewing himself as a person who suffers and begin to view himself as a person who has innumerable gifts and blessings as well as some difficulties. Rabbi Prusansky tells the story of a Rav Chashuv, Alter Yid in Rav Brazil in Geula, who was very makbid about his matzahs. He would be there cutting the wheat, and he would be there for the whole process. Like, you know, one of those chashuv people from the past, right? Even though you have that today as well, Baruch Hashem. And he was very, very careful, and he guarded his matzahs, you know, very carefully. And Erev Pesach, he has his matzahs, right? People bake matzahs Erev Pesach, and he puts them on a shelf, you know, away so that no harm should come. He goes out for a few minutes, and his grandchildren are there, and grandchildren are grandchildren, and they start, you know, it's a tiny apartment, they start playing, and something goes flying, and with the something going flying, guess what else goes flying? That's right, the matzahs go flying, shoo! Broken in pieces. And they are petrified of their grandfather's response. And as they're standing there, like, not quite knowing what's going to be, the grandfather walks in, and he appraises the situation very quickly. And then he starts to sing to Hashem. Hashem, thank you so much. There's so many people who don't have children, and I was blessed with children. There's so many people who have children, and the children don't get married. My children got married. There's so many people who have children who get married, but they don't have children of their own, and I was blessed with grandchildren. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me grandchildren who are healthy enough to be playing Erev Pesach. And it just changes the whole situation. It just reframes the situation. Of course I could look at the broken matzah. You can't cry over spilled milk. They're gone. The kids realize what they did was wrong. Right? There's no point. But it's a incredible moment. It's a teaching moment. It's a moment, am I going to focus in on what I don't have and I can't do much about? Or am I going to focus in on what the blessings are for me at this very moment that I'm in this really terrible situation? I don't have matzahs for Seder night, and I really invested in those matzahs. How do we view these situations? To be able to see the simcha, to be able to have that karas hatov, the gratitude for what we do have, that's the clincher. And we know, as Rabbi Spira points out and touched by our story, Paro is the one who lacked a karas hatov. Paro is the one who said, who is God that I should listen to him? Paro is the one who says, Vayakam el chadash shelo yada Yosef, who says, who is Yosef? That I should treat the Jews well. So the whole core of Mitzrayim, Paro denying the goodness that was done to him, denying Hashem, our response, Hakaras HaTov, Dayenu. So level number one, my friends, of Dayenu. Dayenu doesn't mean it would have been enough. He didn't give us a Torah, Dayenu, right? And then you have the kids who come with our Sinai and give us a Torah. It's like, you know, you're in a perfume factory and all the different Torah. None of this is necessary. Dayenu, we read differently. For this alone, it would have been enough for us to show gratitude. La makom aleinu. It's incumbent upon us, ma'alot, la'aleu l'kaleis, to give thanks and gratitude to Ribon Shalom for every step of the way. And this, my friends, is a yesod in our own avodas Hashem, to thank Hashem at every step of the way, to appreciate what we do have, not what we don't have, and that's a game changer in how we view our lives and how we view our relationship with Hashem. That's idea number one. Idea number two, we'll talk about the emuna aspect. That was the hakaras hatov. So my friends, we are going to learn together a very beautiful piece from a brand new Haggadah. At least it's brand new for me. Reb Reuven Feinstein on the Haggadah. I think it is brand new in general. We are in source number 26. Let's take a look. Dayenu is not about declaring that we did not need Hashem to do these kindnesses for us. Of course we needed them all. Dayenu would have been enough if he hadn't done it for me. No, we needed it. We needed the man. We needed Har Sinai. We needed Shabbos too. We are all obligated to find Hashem and believe in Him the same way Avraham Avinu did. We thank Hashem that He made it so easy for us to do that by affording us a history rich with His providence. We are all obligated to have a relationship with Hashem, to find Hashem. What Dayenu is, this piyut, is thanking Hashem for, is thank you Hashem for making it so easy. I would have had to do it anyway, but now you're putting it right in front of me. Thus, Dayenu is really about declaring that even if Hashem had not continued to reveal Himself to us openly again and again, we would still have sufficient evidence of His providence to believe in Him forever. And it's also about thanking Him for relating with us so openly that we can easily recognize Him and relate to Him. Dayenu, it would have been enough, and we'll look inside to give some examples. Had you not done that for us, we would still recognize you. But now that you have done that for us, how much more we have to thank you, Hashem, for making it so easy for us. Again, Kama Milos Tova, Amakom Aleinu, Amakom Aleinu. Our obligation to thank Hashem for what? For making it user-friendly and emuna in our lives. Let's take a look at some examples. Um, 28. The answers were not correctly interpreting the words, it would have been enough. For what exactly would it have been enough? Alas, we are approaching enough from the perspective of receiving from Hashem. Clearly, in terms of accepting Torah, arriving at our Sinai would not have been enough. If we reframe our minds properly and focus not on what we receive, but rather on what our obligations are, this praise becomes a lot clearer. It's a very powerful lesson. In terms of the obligation, it weighs upon every single person in the world to discover Hashem on his own, to know him and relate with him, similar to the way Avraham Avinu did. Each of these 15 favors Hashem did for Klal Yisrael made it progressively easier, the bracket of 28, to recognize him in the universe. These were all gifts that Klal Yisrael did not necessarily deserve or even need, but which Hashem performed for them anyway, and in the process, he revealed himself more openly than he usually does. When Dayenu is explained in that light, we can indeed see what it means. That wouldn't have been enough at each of the 15 steps. So now let's take a look. Ilo Tziyam Yitzrayim V'lo Savem Shvatim Dayenu 29. It would have been enough for us to experience Tziyam Yitzrayim if Hashem would have redeemed Klal Yisrael from Egypt. That occurrence alone would have served to demonstrate to us there's Hashem in the world, who acts in our best interest. And we're taught to recognize all the good that happens to us as Hashem's blessings. This truly would have been enough for us to find Hashem. 30. Ilo Asabahem Shvatim V'lo Asab Eloheim Dayenu. Had he executed judgment against them, but not upon their gods, it would have been enough for us. But he did more than take us out of Egypt. He also carried out judgments against the Egyptians. And Hashem's justice is like no other justice. It's a measure for measure. It's precise. When Klal Yisrael saw the Egyptians were so obviously being punished for what they had done to the Jewish people, they got an incredible boost of emunah. Hashem has only granted them a new lease on life by freeing them, but also exacting retribution on their behalf, demonstrating that he loves and protects his nation. Seeing this surely made Hashem more recognizable. It's not necessary for Hashem to do anything more. Even had he not destroyed the gods of the Egyptian, Klal Yisrael would have had sufficient reason to believe in him. Let's do two more, and then we'll move on. Ilu asab Eloheim v'lo haraga b'choreim. Hashem made it even easier for Klal Yisrael to recognize his presence in the world by destroying the gods of the Egyptians. Now, this does not necessarily refer to idols, which are understandably and obviously powerless. It refers to the Nile River, which the Egyptians served. Now, if a person is searching for a deity to whom to attribute power, there's an inclination to give credit to what is apparently bringing success, which was a motivation about serving the Nile. By smiting the Nile and the animals, Hashem demonstrated they are not the source of the goodness in the world that a person is supposed to find. That made it even easier for Klal Yisrael to be able to identify him. And in truth, this would have been sufficient. He did not have to also kill the Bechorim during Makas Bechoros. This would have been enough, Dayenu, to recognize the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam. Likewise, had he provided for our needs in the wilderness for 40 years, but not fed us the man, it would have been enough for us. He could have given us it in a different way, but to give us the man, to see so clearly that Hashem is the ultimate source of everything. Hamarbe, hamamid, you had more, you had less. It was clearly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wow! Al achas kama v'kama tova kfula mechupele. How much more so when we have all of these things? A, how much more so we have to thank Hashem for every step? And how much more so is the obligation to see Hashem's hand with clarity, and therefore our emunah becomes that much deeper and much more real on the night of Pesach. Dayenu is about enabling us to focus on these things. And that's why Rav Druk on the Haggadah explains that the word ma'alot can be understood to mean steps, as in the verse, you should not ascend my altar on steps. In other words, we're praising Hashem for giving us steps to which to elevate ourselves and grow closer to Him step by step. Let's try to understand this a little bit more deeply. Let me just pause before we get to this third level. And that is the following. The Klil Tiferet, Rav Pinkas Hatzal, in source number 35. This is a piece we have done a zillion times. We should know it inside and out. At the same time, so fundamental that I like doing it, if not every year, every few years. And that is the three matzos, says Rav Pinkas Hatzal, on Pesach correspond to the avos. It's the knowledge of Hashem. It's knowing that Hashem exists. It's clarity. It's light. It's essential. It's core. The four cups of wine correspond to Shlakados, to the four Imahos, to the four matriarchs. And again, we went through 1 year how they correspond. Like, for example, the fourth cup, which is Hallow, which is Leah. It's Pelech Hildaya. Leah's the one who gave thanks. But the four cups have to be red wine. Kedam Hu HaNefesh. It's passion. It's feeling. And the cups of wine, says Rav Pinkus, are spread throughout the night of Pesach, where the matzah is eaten basically all at the same time by the meal. Emunah has to be core. The feeling of Hakaras HaTov has to permeate all aspects of our lives, all aspects of the Seder. It's the beginning, middle, and end of the Seder. We have to feel this level of connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. The night of Pesach, and that is where we're going now, is Ma'alot are not just levels. Ma'alot are not just ways to praise Hashem, Aleh u'lekales, but Ma'alot are also steps, like the Lo Taleh b'Ma'alot HaMizbachi back in 34. These are steps by which to elevate ourselves and grow closer to Him step by step. That's what Seder night is about, and that gets us to the third aspect. When I know Hashem exists, and I show my appropriate Hakaras HaTov for what happened in Egypt, and therefore my mitzvah observance is radically different, and in my own life, and my own relationship with Hashem is radically different, it has to lead me to Ma'alot, that I move to a higher step. As Rav Pinkus Atzal says, if you wake up the morning after Seder, and you're the same person, and in no way you've changed to a certain degree, you've missed a boat. It's about, the Dayenu is about Ma'alot, helping us go up one step to another. You know, they tell a story, not true obviously, of a person who drank a little bit too much in Eretz Yisrael on Purim, and he's driving home, and the police officer stops him and says, you're drunk. He says, you know what, let me drive home. Just don't give me any points on my license, just give me, you know, a small fine. Okay, he does that. Continues driving, and he gets stopped again by a policeman. And he says the same thing, you know what, I'm driving home, just give me a small fine, don't give me points on the license. And this happens a third time, and it happens a fourth time. And by the fourth time, he says to the policeman, don't you guys have anything better to do than to stop people who are drinking? The policeman says, you know what, for a little added money, I will help you get out of the traffic circle that you've been going around and around in the last 20 minutes. And sometimes that's us in our lives. So we're just going around in the same place. And life has to be steps. It has to be a spiral. We have to be able to go higher and higher in our avodas Hashem. The goal of Seder is a goal of transformation, which now allows us to appreciate what the idea of 15 levels are about. This is based on a piece in Tfilat Pinchas from Pinchas Friedman, Pesach 5777. Quotes the Ritva, that the 15 levels, 36, of favor correspond to the 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash that span from the women's courtyard, Ezras Nashim, to the men's courtyard, the Ezras Yisrael. So again, if we understand Ma'alot as steps, it's a real correspondence that there were 15 steps between the two. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were 15 steps that separated the women's section from the men's section, and there were 15 Shira Maloses, and during the Simchas Beit HaShemeva, the Leviim would stand and sing the different Shira Maloses from step to step. Accordingly, the Ritva explains that corresponding to these 15 steps, they instituted the mention of the 15 levels of favor Hashem bestowed upon us on the Pesach Haggadah. He adds that they also correspond to the divine name of Yud and He, with which Hashem created the world. Ki Beka Hashem Sur Olamim. Hashem is the strength of the world. Olam Haba was created with the letter Yud, and this world was created with the letter He. So 15 is not an arbitrary number. 15 steps are really talking about creation of worlds. And our job, obviously, is to emulate Hashem and create our world from the lower to the higher. Continuing in 38, the Maharal notes in Gvuros Hashem, the 15 steps of the Beis HaMikdash, in the name Yud Kei. He adds, the reason why Hashem created the universe with the name Yud-Kei, possessing numerical value 15, is to teach us that this world contains 15 levels, represented by that name of Yod and Hey. Every Jew must ascend from the lowermost level to the uppermost level. The 15 steps in the Beit HaMikdash represent these 15 levels. They allude to the fact that every person must ascend these 15 levels of Kedusha from bottom to top. Now we can appreciate the Dayenu. The Dayenu is about us. Kama Milos Tovos, how many steps do we are incumbent upon us to do in Hashem's world to be able to emulate Him, to be a growing person? We have to start from the lowest, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and move through the Seder night to the highest level of the Beit HaMikdash of the ultimate level of connection to Hashem. The top level, the asterisk in 39, the pinnacle of human achievements, when a Jew achieves such a supreme level of Kedusha that he attains the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash. Now we can appreciate why David HaMelech had these 15 Shirah Malos. He intended for Levim to arouse the Jewish people to perform sincere, complete tshuva with their song, to elevate them from the bottommost level represented by Yitzhak Mitzrayim to the uppermost level represented by the building of the Beis HaMikdash. With this, we can appreciate, my friends, an idea that we saw last week, but now we'll see a little bit deeper. We spoke about last week, the Targum Yonah's son, that Hashem took us on eagle's wings the night of Seder and brought us to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? We went to Har Moriah, that's where we had the Korban Pesach. So now, my friends, we can appreciate it. This is what we would call, thus they performed in the bracket of 42, a symbolic act for all future generations, so that in every Pesach night, Hashem would elevate Yisrael to a supreme spiritual level, the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash. Our goal is to be get to that Beis HaMikdash level. But the fact that Hashem took them on those eagle's wings to the Beis HaMikdash that night is just like a poel d'nyoni of what we need to try to experience wherever we're holding on the continuum of our lives. We're all in Mitzrayim. We're all in narrow straits. The goal of the night is for at least one night to get a feel of what it's like. Kittel in hand. Matzah, Arba Kosos, we're entering into a different sphere, into a different dimension, to be able to tap into whatever we can, that I'm going to be different. I'm climbing up those steps of Dayenu in the Seder night. And this, the Tiferet, we can appreciate the Tiferet Shlomo, who says, Pasuk tells us in Vayikra 6:9, Matzot shall be eaten in a holy place in the courtyard of the Olmoed shall they eat it. On every Pesach night, every Jew must achieve a level of Kedusha tantamount to the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. Thus, when he consumes the matzos, he will be fulfilling the requirement in a holy place in the courtyard of the Olmoed shall they eat it. And that's the goal. The goal is we all have to eat matzos in a holy place. So how do we eat matzos in a holy place? Dayenu. We build up in the Seder night. We go from one step to another. Now it's fascinating, and we've mentioned this before as well in 43, that there's another 15 in the night of Seder. That's right. Kadesh Urchat are 15 simani. There are 15 levels that we go through, signposts along the way. And there are those svarim that will link the two together. The obvious one is Nirtza, which is, you know, Chasol Sidur Pesach, the Shana Bab Yushalayim, with building Beis HaMikdash. The two are linked together. And he explains in 43 that this is why we start in the 15 levels of Simanim, which is also signposts and directions of growth. Both have the same purpose of Kadesh Urchat. Usually you have Kadesh first, you have Urchat first, Sur Meira, and then Asei Tov. You have the negative, and then you have the positive. Here, we start with Kadesh, with sanctification, and then Urchat. Then we clean ourselves off. For the night of Pesach, the bracket of 43, Hashem sanctified Yisrael, immersing them in the 49 levels of Bina, even though they were not yet deserving, for they had not yet divested themselves of the 49 levels of Tumah. The reversed order of these two simanim convey to us that every one of us is capable of fulfilling Kaddish on this night of Pesach prior to Orchat. Every Jew can sanctify himself on this night, even though he has not yet succeeded in cleansing himself in all of his sins. Our goal on the night of Seder, Hashem elevates us through all the 15 levels and stages from the bottom to the top, even though we're not worthy. Therefore, we begin the Seder by reciting these 15 simanim. They represent our request that we be elevated through all 15 levels on the special night. We conclude the recounting of the events of Mitzrayim by enumerating the 15 divine acts of favor Hashem performed on our behalf. In other words, we conclude by praising Hashem for elevating us to the uppermost level. The question becomes, how do we understand Dayenu on this third level? A very beautiful story Rabbi Spiro tells of a Rav in a Lev Shomea convention in Eretz Yisrael who gave over the story crying. And he tells the story of that his Rosh Yeshiva, and he went fundraising once to America, very unusual for him. And they're in New York, and they hear about a gvir, a rich person who lives in the outlying areas, and they took a car, he takes his Talmud, takes a car, and they drive to toward the gvir. It was a long drive. They had a bottle of water with them, which ran out, so they were good. They stopped at a gas station to buy water, and the only place to buy water was a non-kosher restaurant. They didn't feel comfortable walking in for obvious reasons. So the Talmud calls up a friend, do you know any area we can buy, you know, kosher food, v'chulei. He said, yeah, there's a Jewish community a little short distance away, 10-minute, 15-minute drive. They drive there and they find a Jewish kosher store. They go in and they pick some stuff up. And when they go to pay, they see the cashier, it's a young boy in his 20s, who from the way he looks is religious, Shomer Shabbos, holding, but barely holding. The Rosh Yeshiva and the boy look at each other as if they're familiar with one another but can't quite place it. He pays and they go sit. The Rosh Yeshiva and his Talmud and his student go sit and eat whatever they bought. And the cashier comes over to the rabbi and says, can I ask what your name is? He tells him. He says to him, I was a student of yours. He says, what's your name? Asher. Asher! Asher, you were one of my best students. I remember how you asked three bomb kashas on what we were learning. And Asher started crying. He said to him, with all due respect, how come the whole time that I was in yeshiva, you never told me what a great student I was? You never told me that I asked three bomb kashas. Rosh Yeshiva said, Asher, I promise you, I'll stop the fundraising trip right now. I'll go to Eretz Yisrael and I'll show you in my notebook. I have your name written by these questions. So Asher obviously said, I'm not going to make the Rosh Yeshiva stop his trip, but I'm going to take him up on his offer. And a few weeks later, Asher comes to the Rosh Yeshiva's apartment. And he says to the Rosh Yeshiva, says to him, do you remember what was the last Masechet we were learning? He tells him. The Rosh Yeshiva pulls out that notebook, opens up to what they were learning, and sure enough, it says Asher's name with the three bomb kashas he asked. And Asher looks at the Rosh Yeshiva and says to him, is it too late? And the Rosh Yeshiva says, it's never too late. Asher today is a tremendous teacher himself in Ashdod. So on the one hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent this Rosh Yeshiva fundraising. He thought he was raising money. He was raising a soul. He was bringing this soul back, clearly. And that's the way the Ribbono Shalom runs this world and the way the strings are pulled. But here's the deeper part of the story for us. Dayenu is about appreciating every level, every step of the way. Yes, it's about leaving Egypt and ascending to Uvalan Obeis HaBechira, building the Beis HaMikdash. But there are 15 steps along the way. Dayenu, for each step, for each small progress that we make, we have to acknowledge and say, wow, thank you Hashem for allowing us to reach this level. thank you, Hashem, for the siyata d'shmaya, the help from above, to be able to acknowledge every step of the way. Dayenu, for this alone, it would have been enough just to reach this point with the hope of moving forward. And that's the message of the Seder. The message of the Seder is, yes, there's emunah, and yes, there's hakaras hatov, and yes, there's about personal growth and momentum. And as we move in the personal growth and momentum, we have to stop and pause and be able to appreciate what we've accomplished and wish ourselves a yasher koach just to help us move forward. And the same thing holds true in all areas of our lives with ourselves and with others. Even on the small level of cleaning for Pesach, instead of focusing in on saying to the child, this is all you've accomplished, do you know how much more we have to do? Oh, stop. Megala, 4 hours you spent on that drawer. Look at that drawer. It's amazing. Greiser Yashikoach. Let's focus on what has been accomplished. Let's focus on what we have done, not on what is left to do. Let's take each step of the Dayenu, each step of our growth in our chinuch, in our relationship with others, in our lives. Dayenu, for this alone, it's enough to appreciate, to step back and to recognize our accomplishment. To be able to tell that student or that child, that was a bomb, kasha, gewalt. And be able to appreciate every step of the way. And only when we're able to really build ourselves and others up, that then gives us the momentum to move forward. That indeed Pesach becomes the time of leaping, the time of movement forward. It just gives us that energy. As Rav Leibel Eger speaks about, that we end the night of Seder now with the image of a lamp, which Klal Yisrael called Son Kedoshim, which followed very, you know, methodically and slowly, but like a gedi, like a goat, which leaps. When we have that good feeling of what we've accomplished, it enables us to leapfrog much greater and greater heights and levels. And indeed, it's the holiday of Pesach, the holiday of leaping, the holiday of jumping, that indeed we go from level 1 to level 15 and appreciating each step of the way, Dayenu, as we climb that ladder.